We're still in these early chapters of Mark, and this is this first big confrontation. There are two verbs in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, bara and salach. Bara means to create. Only God is the subject of that verb. Salach means to forgive. And only God is the subject of that verb. So when Jesus says your sins are forgiven, they're all shocked. And yet, it's supposed to be a gentle invitation to start to recognize who he is. As usual, the regular folk get it, and the experts don't. Now, this text, the promised land. What is the promised land? We know now. It's eternal life in transforming union with the Trinity. That's the promised land. Now, there's an image of that, and this is, again, that whole thing we talked about the other day, of the people being called into this land to be their own. And that's a type of where the whole human race is called to be with God forever. So let us be on our guard while the promise of entering into his rest remains, that none of you seem to have failed. He's promised us heaven. Jesus Christ died on the cross and opened up the way again to be there, transformed by divine Trinitarian life forever, body and soul. Jesus has opened that way again. It was closed. And now it's open. And so the rest is to be with God forever. Right. For in fact, we have received the good news just as our ancestors did. In fact, more. But you see, I might have to stop one time and just give a homily on the spiritual sense of Scripture. But these are all types. They strove to enter the land, and they did. But we all die. Is that it? We own a land? Or is there more? You see, all of those things have to be, they are prophecies of things much greater and higher, namely, eternal life with God. For in fact, we have received the good news just as our ancestors did. They received good news. The Lord is going to free you from Egypt and bring you back to the land he promised to Abraham. But there's more. That's supposed to be the beginning to help our poor little minds grasp what it is he's really calling us to. For we who believed entered into that rest. We've already begun heaven. Why? Because the Trinity dwells in us. If this roof were to crash in and we were all to die, then the most obvious thing about this chapel would be obvious to us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that's why he's saying that. They shall not enter into my rest, and yet his works were accomplished at the foundation of the world. It says he rested from his works, right? That's where we get Shabbat. So why is he talking about another rest? Because he has spoken elsewhere, this great Saval, you see, someone has said, he knows exactly where, but that's not the way he preaches. So he says, for he has spoken somewhere about the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in the previous mentioned place, they shall not enter into my rest. There is a rest that God has for us. It's incredible joy forever. Heaven. Therefore, let us strive to enter into that rest so that no one may fall after the same example of disobedience. You see how his mind is so filled with a mystical understanding of those events and what they are foreshadowing. And he's using that Old Testament to teach us the meaning of life. Jesus is our priest, and he exercises his priesthood by interceding for us in heaven, always living to make intercession for us, as he will say later on. And so he's saying, raise up your hearts, raise up your minds. Don't get so stuck in what you have to do day by day that you forget where you're going, that you forget what you're called to. And so he's using this letter, this psalm actually, that we use almost every morning. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. And it goes on. That's the invitatory psalm, reminding us, where are we going? And then, as we settle down on that truth and can be captured by it, the forgiveness of God, the love of the Father. He's forgiven us. And he's inviting us. He's calling us. He's planned our lives. We are here this morning in this chapel hearing this word. And we're going to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe we're 20, 25, whatever we are. Where is everybody else? They don't know. And that's the other part of it. We have to tell them. We have to tell them. What is the meaning of life? Making $1 million? No. Being in union with God so that we make the transition in death from here to there. And we do that by love. If anybody loves me, he'll keep my commandments. And my Father will love him. And I will love him. And I will show myself to him, even in this world.